There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve. Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 736, September 28th. 2017. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. We finally have motorsports version of Goodbye, Sam. Hello, Samantha. Now back to Reverend Rogers, pastor of the DNF Chapel.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Ferrari commits suicide. Verstappen maybe needs to slow down. Will Renault provide what McLaren needs deep down in the bowels? And of course, donations are accepted to keep these programs on the air. Just click on the donation tab on the front page of F1Weekly.com. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am doing very good, sir. What can I say about the opening lap?
Stupidity?
And I have to agree with your opening statement. Max needs to slow down.
Yes, I think everybody needs to take a breather, especially when the track is just getting damp. We get what we want, a little rain in Singapore. And once again, it's the viewer, the fan, the Ferrari fans that really got burned on this one. Both of them out. Verstappen, another DNF. I mean, that's what he's king of. He doesn't even need to go to the chapel anymore. It's tragedy for everybody, but except for one person, LCH.
Exactly. In the red corner, Seb goes chop-chop and comes out of Singapore boucherie with no meat on the bones. The young and the restless, Mr. Max Verstappen, became hollandaise sauce in a Ferrari sandwich, taste of which was very sweet for Toto and the master of spaghetti culture, Herr Lauda himself. In the silver corner, like you said, LCH comes out with prime cut and full bottle of A1 sauce. According to the race winner, the miracle he was looking for was delivered in the form of rain. Now, interestingly, both Seb and LCH came into F1 in 2017, and I wonder if any full wet race since then has been won by a driver other than these two youths. Singapore was, in fact, eight successive win for LCH in a rain-affected Grand Prix. And I do remember Jenson Button surprising and putting Mr. Vettel under pressure when he lost the Canadian Grand Prix to JB some years ago. And amazingly, Clark, total wins for LCH is 60, 6-0, and seven is the seven victories this year, nine podiums. And His Majesty has scored points in each and every race thus far in 2017. That is impressive, whether you like him or not.
I agree. I mean, it's impressive. He's got the package. Mercedes continues to dominate. And, I mean, what can you do? The spaghetti culture. And not only that, but it seems like Seb gets a little unhinged.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this a couple of days ago. You know, when he came in, he had this boyish look and always smiling with good sense of humor, doing impressions of Nigel Mansell and Kimi Raikkonen, winning a lot of races, the fingers showing. But now that he does not have something, he's not on the Procter & Gamble program, head and shoulders in terms of a package. So we have seen that he's only human. And he can become a pretty, just look what happened at the Mexican Grand Prix last year. And then driving into LCH in Baku. So nice to know that he's human. He's one of us.
That is for sure. But I hate to see Mercedes get handed over victories in such a simple fashion.
Yeah, but you know, you make your own luck. And once upon a time, Gordon Johncock won an IndyCar race where he had no chance because a lot of people make mistakes and this and that. And he said, yeah, I was lucky, but it makes up for the days I was unlucky. LC8 was unlucky in Malaysia last year. So, you know, what goes around comes around.
I agree. Keep up the good work. And what about Raikkonen? Any blame on him?
Well, you know, his take on the three taken out at the start of the race is the best. While some are blaming Seb and some are blaming Max, which is expected, according to him, the end result is the same. So it doesn't matter. But, you know, people who watch F1 races on TV thousands and thousands of miles away from action on the track, they know at the start you have to watch out for certain jumping jack flash. And when the start is slippery and you are on pole and your only challenger is on row three, better safe than sorry at the start is not a bad policy. And throwing away such an advantage, and keep in mind that Baku behavior also cost the red team dearly, this was certainly not in Scuderia's script. Their only hope now is for history to repeat itself in Malaysia, as far as LCH is concerned, or have Max do an equal opportunity torpedo on LCH in one of the few remaining races.
That's very true, and Verstappen can do it. The Red Bull is getting quicker, and even though we have long straights in Malaysia, it's possible that he could be P2, P3. So anything is possible. But, you know, we know the Ferraris are quick. The problem is that was a missed opportunity, and he's 28 points behind. I just, you know, this is going to be tough. They're not fighting Super Aguri here. It's Mercedes.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, there's still six races to go, so that's about 150 points available for Seb to launch a counterattack and surprise everyone like he did in 2006. Even Roscoe knows it.
Yeah, Roscoe loves all this.
I have a feeling the 2017 Singapore Grand Prix for Seb could be what the 2016 Malaysian Grand Prix was for L2H.
Yep, I completely agree with you. Ferrari, I mean, to even hang on to this championship, they have to do some miraculous qualifying and winning in Malaysia.
No, I'm sure Sebastian is going to win a few races. I don't doubt that, and he will be very strong. But the 2017 championship, unless there is a kablamo at Mercedes, it looks like pretty much well done for LCH.
No, I think you're right. I think the possibility of a kablamo is very small because Mercedes has worked on reliability, and this is not 2016. LCH, let me put it this way. From what I've read, Sebastian Vettel has a 23% chance of winning this championship.
Yeah, but you know, once upon a time, he had no chance of winning in 2010. I could not believe at that time that Red Bull refuses to help Mark Webber win the championship. But, you know, Sebastian Vettel came strong and won the championship.
Very true. Now, what about team orders at Mercedes telling Bottas to give up a win?
I don't see that because, you know, like Lewis said, he may not give Bottas that opportunity or the Mercedes team that opportunity. I mean, the only thing that will help Seb now is maybe Pierre Gasly torpedoing LCH and saying, oh, it was my first race. I'm so sorry. Or a kablamo. But, I think all the tracks that are coming now, you have to race, you know, and see who wins the race. But I think the advantage, apart from the final race, is all to Lewis Hamilton. I mean, that car likes fast-flowing tracks, and he's very good at in these situations. So, we've been surprised before. So let's see what happens in Yas Marina in a couple of months.
I agree. Now, what's really interesting is, once again, Ricciardo is out-qualified, but once again, Ricciardo sees the big picture. Ricciardo is becoming le professeur.
Well, that's very true. You know, and once again, like you said, Maddox grabs the headline, but it is his teammate who grabbed a fistful of points. The smiling assassin, that is Daniel Ricciardo, was wondering what happened to the speed his car showed on Friday. He has now finished on the podium in the last four F1 races in Singapore, and according to Christian Horner, he was losing oil pressure in the gearbox, and they were thinking that, you know, the car may not even make it to the finish, so they were lucky to have a car on the podium. After Max Wee does a, you know, he pulls the plug on his own race.
Exactly.
And Bottas, another fine podium finish for him. But I have a feeling, tell me if you agree with me, that he's already seeing at night fellow Finn Heikki Kovalainen appearing in his dreams asking, who's your daddy? Even then, Bottas has done a great job as teammate to LCH. Two race wins and 10 podiums so far this season has put him in a position to target second place in the championship. Third place in Singapore was his seventh podium in the last eight races, which is very impressive. And if you compare him to how he's doing against the numero uno at his own team, and compared to Kimi, Valtteri is doing a very, very good job.
That's true. He's bringing in the points. He's doing the podiums. I'll give you that much. He's a good second banana.
And since you are the lord of F1 Weekly, do you give Bottas a thumbs up or a thumbs down for the season so far?
I give him a thumbs up, and he's already been signed now for 2018, which was sort of a rallying point maybe for Fernando, but no. So I'm happy for him, you know. It's great. So it is what it is. But now the big news behind Carlos Sainz Jr. and Jonathan Palmer.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. What do you think Fernando Alonso do if in the first half of next year Toro Rosso wins a race?
He'll probably shave his head and become a monk.
Absolutely. And go live in Tibet. And that will be the irony. Then it will really prove that if you want your career to succeed in Formula One, just do the opposite of Fernando Alonso.
Keep up the good work.
Yes, and you were talking about Carlos Sainz?
Yes, indeed. Big news, he's going to Renault. It's done.
Yeah, he was fourth and gave Toro Rosso their highest place finish since Monza 2007 when they scored their first and only Grand Prix win in the rain, courtesy of Sebastian. What are we doing here, Vettel? Carlito is going to Renault next season as part of a package deal for McLaren to get Renault power after the end of their Honda nightmare. But Dr. Marco is having his cake and eat it too in this deal. Carlito will remain in the Red Bull program, and they may take him back at the mothership if both Danny and Max grow their own wings and depart to greener and faster, and maybe one going to the red pasture, the other one going to the silver pasture. But, you know, I got to tell you something about Honda. On YouTube, you can watch all these, you know, drivers' press conference on Thursday, team principal conference on Friday, which I watch and I really enjoy them. And they had last time around two gentlemen, senior industry people from, I think one was from their motorsport division, one from, you know, some other division, but, you know, involved in their racing program, very senior executives. And they did not speak any English, so there was a lady translator. And I have to say, I was very impressed that these people, I mean, Honda had a chance to walk away, but what they were saying and which was being translated, it gave me the impression that these people are not going to lay down and play dead for Zak Brown or Fernando Alonso. They didn't say anything very negative towards McLaren or anything, although some of the comments came that McLaren did not adapt to them, which was kind of strange. But if anybody wants to check this out on YouTube, they're obviously welcome and free to do it. But the spirit at Honda, I was impressed, I have to say, despite taking into account what they have done, or should I say not done in 3 years. But it's good to see that they are committed to the program. And, you know, I wish them well. I wish Porsche, if they come in Formula One, well. We want all the participants to do well so the sport grows and we have machismo-ness all around.
I agree, but I think Honda can't expect McLaren to adapt. They're the mothership. It was Honda, I think, that failed to adapt quickly enough. I mean, the problem is there's a limited amount of time in today's Formula One. I mean, you have to become a winner much quicker than 25 years ago.
Yeah, you know, it's like NFL. If you win anything and everything and win the Heisman Trophy and end a big college quarterback, when you get drafted by a big team, whether it's Giants or Cowboys or Packers or Patriots, if you don't throw a touchdown in your first three games, in the fourth game you are warming the bench, that's for sure.
Absolutely. So I can't blame McLaren. They were losing money. They were losing sponsors. They were suffering. They really had no choice.
But, you know, one thing I will say, as much as I would like to see them succeed, even in the last few years with Mercedes, I mean, it's not like they were fighting for the championship. So it has to be seen, you know, how good that chassis is with Renault power. I am sure it's going to be much, much, much better than what they had with Honda, but remains to be seen if they can beat the hell out of Red Bull and Max and Danny Ricciardo.
They should be able to keep up. If they can't fight with Red Bull, I'll be surprised.
Yeah. Both Force India cars were in the points. Sergio Perez was fifth, and his young Pink Panther teammate Esteban Ocon was 10th. But the Tylenol Pain Relief Award goes to Jolyon Palmer for his first points of the season and best finish of his F1 career. After all, this was done all after he was told your services are no longer required at the end of the season by Renault. The ex-GP2 champion was sixth in Singapore and said, "I don't really mind about what happened all weekend. I'm just happy with the race." And this poor chap must have been feeling like he was in the middle of siege of Leningradsky. First, it was Robert Kubica. Now, Carlos Sainz Jr. has taken his place. There are talks, words in the media that he may go to Williams. He's a British guy. And, you know, I said this once about a year ago. He kind of reminds me of Nigel Mansell. You know, when Nigel came, nobody took him seriously. But he kept going and going and going. And then came on strong to win the championship. And that's how the GP2 career panned out for Jolyon Palmer. He took 4 years, but when he was in his fourth year, he totally dominated. So maybe Williams will give him a chance. I think, you know, this thing about Robert Kubica out of racing for several years is just it's a feel-good story. And I don't know why they would even think about taking Paul Di Resta. He really did not set the world on fire. But if they take Jolyon Palmer, at least they have somebody who has current experience and there will be no issues of lost in translation with him. So we'll see. And who knows, they might even keep Massa for... Wouldn't it be funny if they let him go again and then their deal with the new driver falls apart and they have to call him back for another retirement from their retirement?
That's ridiculous. And I have to admit, the Williams statement about the three drivers they're considering, Kubica and Paul Di Resta, I mean, I just shook my head. I'm just going, really? Paul Di Resta is a better choice over Felipe Massa. I don't care how long he's, you know, let him get up to speed. I think Paul Di Resta will do fine.
No, Felipe Massa is not a bad deal. You know, obviously he's not Sebastian Vettel or LCH, but, you know, he's pretty reliable and just like Kimi Raikkonen's situation.
No. We need to get back to choosing people like Montoya, you know, somebody exciting. I mean, Alex Zanardi didn't add up to a hill of beans, but it was exciting when he was chosen.
Yeah, that's what all it was. But yeah, but, you know, I would like to see somebody, you know, like maybe they can take Charles Leclerc if he's available, or I would like to see them give Oliver Rowland a chance and see what happens.
I agree.
And Fernando Alonso was very unlucky to be taken out in the Raikkonen hit Max and Max hit Nando on the opening lap. He was pretty sure he had a car for a podium finish, and his teammate Stoffel Vandoorne was able to bring the other McLaren home in seventh place, which was good. And do you like Lance Stroll, seventh at Monza, and scored again in Singapore from his eighth place?
Very much so. I mean, at least we don't have to listen to Jacques Villeneuve anymore.
Yeah, Jacques Villeneuve made some comments about somebody else also very recently. I forget who, but once again, you know, he's saying whatever he wants to, which is not a problem. But I don't think a lot of people are going to take him seriously if he keeps... you know, I remember... do you remember a long time ago we interviewed Matt Bishop when he was editor of F1 Racing Magazine?
I do.
And I remember asking him who are the good guys and who are the buttheads. And butthead, he said, for all time, past, present, future will be Eddie Irvine. And I remember him saying that about Jacques Villeneuve that it depends on his mood. When he wants to be very nice and talkative, then he will talk. And when he does not want it, then he's not available. So, but you know, when you're a world champion, and Williams is the last world champion to this day, I guess you can say things and people will pay attention.
That's very true. I mean, he is Williams' last world champion.
And Romain Grosjean was the only Haas driver to score points at Marina Bay Circuit and was ninth ahead of Ocon in 10th. Grosjean has scored points in 7 of the 14 races so far this season. So his batting average is 50%, which is not bad for what is still a new outfit. You know, they have not even completed 2 full seasons. Would you like to know the points now?
Yes, I need points, but I just get saddened by the whole thing.
What makes you sad now? Now they're not winning?
Correct.
Well, anyway, top 3 in points, LCH 263, Seb 235, Bottas 212. And Bottas has a chance of, passing Seb, but I don't think that will happen. Top 3 constructors, Mercedes 475 points, Ferrari 373, and Red Bull 230. And early Christmas present for Honda. It is only September, but Zach Brown and Eric Bouyer have presented Honda with our favorite CD from Roy Rogers featuring Happy Trails to You. That also means saying sayonara to the $100 million that came from that partnership. McLaren's 7-year itch came 4 years earlier. But what do you expect? The team has one of the greatest drivers in lineup, and he's fighting for survival to the final lap every race weekend. And if that is achieved, a top 10 finish is like winning a Grand Prix. And these are his own words, which is very, very sad. But looks like Honda and hybrid just don't seem to work well together, at least not in F1. The only positive now is that Honda has found another home and will stay in Formula One. Time will tell if sun will rise in their partnership with Toro Rosso, or will this be another false dawn? What a sad ending, but as chairman of the board used to say in his song, I'm going to pick myself and get back in the race. That's life. And let's see if Honda can make it happen.
Well, I think, you know, eventually they've got to get this, well, they got to gain 2 seconds and reliability. But, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing, I have to admit, in my entire life, I never would have expected a McLaren with a Renault.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. I don't think Ron Dennis was a big fan of Renault or French outfits.
I don't think Ron Dennis even likes French fries.
He calls them...
Freedom fries.
Freedom fries?
Yeah.
Probably. But, you know, what was very interesting, the recently news came out that, according to Eric Bouyer, McLaren even offered Honda a season-long sabbatical to get the house in order and come back to McLaren in 2019. He went on to say that the team knew they were in trouble after the first preseason test of 2017 and that they were trying to put Honda in touch with engineers from Mercedes, but men from Tokyo were not interested in taking orders from men from Stuttgart. What say you, sir?
There's a lot of egos involved, and I understand, you know, and especially the Japanese mindset. It's all in-house. It's not a shared community, and Honda doesn't build cars with Toyota or Hyundai, so I don't know. It's interesting, but it's definitely different. I mean, people forget that Mercedes and Renault have a lot of engine deals in the regular car world going on globally. It is what it is. Honda will get to speed with Toro Rosso. Unfortunately, Daniel Kvyat may not be there.
Yeah, and you know, what was also interesting, I was watching this team principal conference, And Franz Tost said that he had also, probably other people from Red Bull, had gone to the Honda Sakura plant where the F1 operation is based some years ago. So I'm sure it's very possible that Honda tried to get more than one team or even somebody else before they agreed on McLaren. But what has happened, and we'll see how it works out in the next season with Toro Rosso. Are you ready for some motorsports mantra from Marina Bay?
I could use a little mantra right now.
Thank you, sir. Racing drivers have been working on the night moves for a decade now in the island nation. The first Formula One race in Singapore was run in 2008. It was sponsored by phone company Singtel. But it would be many months after the race that alarm bells were ringing. It all started when the slick operator by the name of Flavio Briatore hung up on his second driver after telling him, "Here's a dime, call someone who cares." And he and Papa Piquet sure made that call to Max Mosley. The wall of voodoo will always be remembered in the annals of Formula One motor racing as one of the nastiest plots played by Piquet Jr. with the blessing of Renault team principal and crew chief. When the 2008 Singapore Grand Prix was over, Nando was knight in white satin, never knowing what conspired behind him. Sounds like OJ to me. Whether it was this or the Ferrari snake in the pit lane that cost Massa the championship, we may never know. But reputation of Flavio Briatore, Pat Simmons, and Nell Senior Jr. were tarnished beyond repair.
Those were glorious days, weren't they? So exciting!
Man, I will never forget, when I get up, I log on to Autosport to see what the latest motorsport news is. And I remember, logging on and it says, Flavio Briatore and Pat Simmons leave Renault F1 team. And I said, wow. I was like, if there was ever proof in the pudding, that it was. Tapioca totally upside down.
Yep. And I was the only one left bringing the bravo, 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 físico.
Yeah, físico. Yeah, that's the way it goes, Mr. Roger. And this is the final Malaysian Grand Prix. They spent $200, $300 million on this fantastic facility and probably were paying $30 million in annual fees. The facility is fantastic. Beautiful track, beautiful location, very good people. But man, I'll tell you, I would not want to watch a race in a sauna and the steamy situation it was. It was terrible.
Yes. I'm going to stick with European Grand Prix.
I will miss it on TV, but not in person. The track is very nice. But it's a beautiful track.
They'll have other formulas race there and what have you.
Yeah. Wonder what's racing at the boot circuit in India these days.
They're racing cows.
Cows or rickshaws?
Both.
Who do you think is going to be a winner in... one thing that, as far as the Indian Grand Prix is concerned, that I will always remember. If I were to get a chance to interview Sebastian Vettel, I'm going to ask him if he has ever found another vegetable on a track after the cucumber.
I know. He should be sponsored by Gatorade.
Yeah. The Cucumber Association of Georgia or something.
Nafrain Karthikeyan.
Yeah, he has some. He likes cucumber and torpedo. It's classic.
It's quality.
In one of these press conferences, somebody made a mention about torpedo. And surprisingly, Lou said, "Who's torpedo?" And they tell him that, it was Seb called him a torpedo.
That's beautiful.
The torpedo has been torpedoed. I feel sorry for him. But, that's how the world of Formula One is. You have to perform. Look at he has like 4 points and his teammate has over 40 points. Who's going to keep you?
Nobody.
Yeah, they have really dissed him not once but twice. Wonder if he will do well here in the U.S. in IndyCar racing.
He'll be fine.
And he will have many opportunities at oval tracks to be a torpedo.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyway, why don't we take a quick break and we'll be back after this brief message.
This F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by the Holiday Inn Select Indianapolis Airport. This Holiday Inn Select is a full-service, atrium-style hotel and conference center. While a guest there, make use of the free high-speed internet access, indoor pool and fitness center. Or enjoy the good life at the Chanteclair restaurant with its award-winning French cuisine and strolling violinist. Or race over to the spot of F1 Weekly's Listener Appreciation Friday social event, Benchwarmer Sports Bar. Catch all the race action on multiple TVs while enjoying the food and daily drink specials. The hotel is located directly across from the Indianapolis International Airport and provides free 24-hour shuttle service and guest parking. It's close to downtown and to the site of the 2007 Formula One United States Grand Prix, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, which makes this hotel an ideal choice for business, pleasure, and for the listeners of this podcast. Call for your reservation today to 1-317-244-6861 or 1-888-HOLIDAY or book online through www.hiselect.com. You know you want to.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the Swami, the guru himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And we shall start with the golden state of US of A, California, IndyCar season finale at Sonoma in California wine country. Outgoing champion Simon Pagenaud won the race for Roger Penske. His teammate Joseph Newgarden was second, and that was enough to give him the title in his fourth season with Captain. And you know, Joseph Newgarden once upon a time raced in GP3 along with Alexander Rossi. So I'm glad that Roger Penske picked him up, and he has delivered in his first year. I mean, he's a, if you look at him and his demeanor, he's a tailor-made driver for Roger Penske. And like Penske said himself, you know, plus he's American. So it's good to see him do well, and I wish him all the best moving forward. Now, Red Bull is giving wings to 14-year-old Jack Doohan, son of MotoGP champion Mick Doohan. Jack will race in British F4 with Arden Motorsports, team co-owned by Christian Horner and his Papito. Now a word about the new debutant in Sepang for the final Malaysian Grand Prix. Pierre Gasly, he is a 21-year-old Francais from the city of Rouen, which used to be home to French Grand Prix in days gone by. Gasly was Formula Renault Euro Cup champion in 2013. The following season, he was in the Baton boot camp run by Field Marshal Helmut Marko and raced in the Formula Renault 3.5 and finished second to another Red Bull darling and flavor of the week, Carlos Sainz Jr. In 2015 and 16, Gasly raced in GP2 and took the title in his second year after a season-long battle with Antonio Giovinazzi. This year, he is racing in the Japanese Super Formula Series, and there's a good chance of winning the championship, which I think is coming up shortly in the final round. So good for him. Now, this was surprising. Motor racing is back in Switzerland. This electrifying news is brought to you courtesy of Formula E. Their race will be on the streets of Zurich on June 10th. And of course, motor racing was banned in Switzerland following the 1955 Le Mans disaster. So are you happy to see motorsports in Switzerland, sir?
Yeah, well, let's not forget they did go to Dijon Prenois.
Yeah, it was a Swiss Grand Prix, but in France, yeah.
I know. But yeah, if, you know, if 1955 has been a long, long time. I mean, Mercedes is back. Let's bring Switzerland back.
There you go. Some Michael Schumacher update. A German magazine by the name of Bravo is reporting that Michael Schumacher may make a move to the United States to be close to a doctor in Dallas area where Michael owns a cattle ranch. The name of the doctor is Mark Mees. He's a brain injury specialist. Since the sad skiing accident in late 2013, Michael has been looked after by a group of doctors and medical specialists at his house near Geneva, Switzerland. The only person, and this was very surprising to me, the only person who has been allowed by Michael's wife, Karina, to visit him is Jean Todt. Even his longtime manager, Willie Weber, has not been allowed in, which is very, very surprising. Now, let's take a look at Championship Mondial, Formula 2, previously known as Happy Dos, GP2. Charles Leclerc from Monaco leads the championship with 218 points and is pretty much set to drive F1 next season for Sauber. Most likely recipient of the Isaac Hayes CD shaft will be Pascal Wehrlein. Now, Pascal Wehrlein, you know, Williams can use him. He's a pretty good driver, and he has the backing of Mercedes, and maybe Toto can give them another discount on taking Pascal. European F3, this was pretty pathetic. 17-year-old English driver Lando Norris, who I'm sure is the next big deal, is set to win his fifth championship in as many series next month in the season finale at Hockenheim Ring, coming up soon. The past weekend, you know, they were racing, and he did a Lewis Hamilton in 2007. It was like five laps to go. He's running in second, several paces ahead of his challenger for the championship, and that second was more than enough to give him championship with one round to go, one round meaning three races. And he just tried to take the lead and clip the rear tire, one of the tires of the guy who was leading, and then some damage, he kept going. And then other people caught up, and he could have easily let two, three drivers go and still win the championship. But, you know, he kept in close contact, and then one of the guys locked up and rear-ended him. So he was very dejected. And even he said himself that he was just going all out to win the championship in that race. So another driver who needs to slow down so they can win championship. But an amazing racing talent, you know, 17-year-old, came into single-seater racing in 2015, and this is his fifth championship. Each championship has been won in his rookie season. Are you surprised that he's part of Renault Formula One? I'm sorry, McLaren program already?
No, I'm not surprised. He'll be on sensation.
Yeah.
Let's just hope he slows down a little bit.
Yes. At GP3, George Russell is the championship leader with 162 points. He is part of the young guns in the sauerkraut culture that is Toto Wolff and Niki Lauda at Mercedes. MotoGP, Honda hombre Marc Marquez leads with 224 points over the Ducati dude Andrea Dovizioso on 208, and Rossi is back in action. So, anything else you would like to talk about?
Well, you know, we're going to Malaysia. It's the last Malaysian race, so sayonara to them, but let's hope that Fernando can do something, perhaps?
Yes, and I think you should let our listeners know that what great podcast or segment has replaced F1 Weekly on the radio station WORCK or whatever it
is. Oh, yes, we lost our spot on the radio show on the East Coast, and yes, we were replaced by a mystic fortune teller.
Wow, could the name be Danica Patrick?
It very well could be, but I can't divulge that information. But we'd love, now that Danica Patrick has time on her hand, you know, maybe we could get her to do a segment like we did many, many years ago with your friend.
Yes, and, you know, she has lost a NASCAR ride, and there are reports that she may try to get back into IndyCar racing. Oh, boy. At one time, she was going to drive for Ken Anderson's Formula One team also.
Well, Ken Anderson, that was a great team. They had one picture of Jimmy Clark on the wall, I believe.
Yes, and overnight, Peter Winsor became more American than Patrick Henry. That was my favorite part.
That is a beautiful moment, but let's not forget, I think that Williams should throw Danica into the mix.
Yeah, into the mix between Massa and Lance Stroll.
Exactly.
Oh, sir, very good news. And this was the first thing I saw early morning today when I woke up and checked my email. Mr. Peter Nygaard, our friend from Grand Prix Photo, gentleman who supplies me photographs for the calendar, courtesy of him, moi, yours truly, has been approved for a F1 media pass for Circuit of the Americas. Gracias, muchachas.
Bravo, bravo, bravo. Maybe you buy me...
Yeah, I'll buy you one.
That maybe some Ferrari glasses.
No, you never know.
You never know, huh?
When I bought in Malaysia, they were so steamy that I'm just trying to cool them down even now, 6 years later.
Yeah. Thank you, Nasser.
But obviously, you know, we cannot, if we record an interview, we cannot play on the podcast as part of the agreement of getting this pass. I understand. Talking to any of the top line drivers will not be possible. But I'm trying to see if I can get maybe 10 minutes with Zach Brown or Eric Bouye or
Or you can catch these people at their hotel.
Yeah, but you know, at hotels, they're having their $90 steak, so they're not going to wait for me to show up and buy them Planters peanuts, you know, 2 for $1.99, courtesy of F1 Weekly's long check.
I understand that. So, okay, quickly, predictions for Malaysia.
Malaysia, I think we will see LCH and Sebastian on the podium, and probably one Red Bull or a, what's his name, Bottas there.
Okay, I predict monsoon rains, mixes up qualifying, Fernando wins, they're stopping second, and I don't know, we'll throw in Nico Hülkenberg's first podium.
Yeah, you know, 6 races going, who knows what will happen, but if Lewis gets another couple of wins in the next 3 races, I mean, that will make it very, very difficult for Sebastian. Not saying that it could happen that way, but just, you know, looking at different scenarios.
But, and I'm telling you, let's look for the Sebastian getting rattled, because he does strange things when he's rattled.
I think, you know, the guy, his Vitaly Petrov moments will be coming from Max Verstappen. Can you imagine Lewis wins a race and 2 Red Bulls are second and third, and then Sebastian Vettel 4th? Then he'll be asking his question again, what are we doing here?
I love it. Talking heads all over again.
Yeah, what are we doing here? Stop making sense.
Thank you, Nasser. Keep up the good work. I want to thank all the listeners who listen. Good night.
Oh, one last item, please. Our friend and my cousin, separated by oceans, Felipe Nasser, is going to race in the IMSA Sports Car Series with Action Express team. So I'm very happy. And this is like a full season deal for 2018. So I look forward to catching up with him and talk about his fantastic debut in Australia a couple of years ago when he had the best Grand Prix debut finish of any of the Brazilian drivers. So I look forward to catching up with him and his uncle Amir also.
Say goodnight, Nas.
Good night. Thank you. Bye-bye.
But no one understands him but his woman.
John Jack.